Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, welcome to Guts Church. I'm Bill Shear, the blessed husband of Sandra Lee, Nicole Shear. The first, you mind standing, Sandy, and say hi to everybody? Yeah. Sandy's crazy. It's crazy living with Sandy. Write that down. It's a crazy life. Crazy living with Sandy. Everything going good, Sandy? Real good? How are things at home? Things are really good at home. Strong marriage, I believe you have, don't you? Are you in love more now than you ever have been in your whole life? Do you love your husband more than just you ever have today? Because we've been married for 34 years, Sandy. 34 years. Never had an argument. I don't know that we've ever really agreed on anything until we have to determine we have to agree. Because when we agree, it blesses God and it honors God, so we choose to. But otherwise, it's been a long, hard road, hadn't it, Sandy? Molly Hart, what's going on? When's that boy baby? When are we going to dedicate that boy baby here at the church? You're coming off the boy baby? How many girls are you going to have? No more? Dear God. I remember when Brooklyn, Taylor was born, it's like I got a man child, and I thought I was on a run. So I'm like, okay, God, I thank you. I'm going to have a bunch of boys. What happened? I'm like, God, what the heck? And I had a girl. And it's like, what? And then we had the surprise girl. And then we stopped. That's it. I'm not taking any more chances. Because I was in faith. I was trusting God. And I got a question for you. Does God really care who wins? Because people say that. And you know, people that don't know God, people that don't, because there's people on one side of the ball, there's people on the other side of the ball. Do you really think God cares who wins? And when we start thinking like that in our life, we start thinking about the situation of life. Are the outcomes of the situations of our life, are they even on God's radar? Like, does God care about your finances? Does God want your marriage restored? Does God really care about your health? There's people that have graver issues than what you have. Does God really, are you on God's radar? If God does care about all this stuff, why is there so much bad in the world then? You know, you hear people say that. You know, honestly, I've never had that thought. See, I wasn't raised in church. So there wasn't like religion that was stacked upon this love for God and going through the motions. I never went through the motions and don't go through the motions with God and never have, because it was never like a religious decision that it never has been. Any decision I've made hadn't been a religious decision that I've made. And looking at this, not having that, when I first came into the body of Christ, I felt like I was bringing up the rear. I don't know if any of you guys ever have thought that. I felt like I was bringing up the rear, that everybody knows so much more than I know, and everybody's so far ahead in this race than I am. But the idea of this is, I've never thought that I was just insignificant to God, because I know that the life change that happened to me. How many of you guys truly, there's been life change on the inside of you that God's changed your life? Because God changed my life. I personally went from darkness to light. I went from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. And with that, I know God cares that I win. I know that God cares that I overcome in the situations that try to pull me down or repress me in my life. If God does care, how do we position our lives for maximum fulfillment in his promises? See, that's the key. See, what's interesting is I wanted to name this series. It's a three-part series that next week is going to blow this week out of the water. You want to be here next week. But this one's going to lead up to it. It's going to lay the foundation. It's going to be really good. Next week, I couldn't be more excited about the material and what we're going to talk about next week. But I'll just tell you this, that in this, that the maximum fulfillment of God's promises, I wanted to call this series just Position to Win. Okay? And I kept getting the responses from the media department, they changed it a little bit. It wasn't just Position to Win. They added Position to Win It All. And I thought, wait a second, that wasn't my idea. So I like my idea better than your idea. But then I started thinking about their idea and I realized I like their idea better than my idea. So instead of calling this series Position to Win, we're calling it Position to Win It All because I'm competitive. See, I know God cares who wins. I know God cares. I have kids that were athletes. I cared that they won because I was their dad. Man, I loved it that all the kids had a great experience, but I cared that my kids won. And see, that's how God is with us. God cares that we win and that we win it all. What God wants to do, just like a coach, what I want to do in this service is I want to position you to win. I want to position you to win it all. I want to put you in a position to win, just like a good coach would for athletes. See, so in our lives, we have to understand now that in our lives, that the Bible says that Jesus became a curse for us. So He became the limiting factor of the world, or the repression of the world, the subject to the world, the lid that's on mankind. He became that lid. And that lid is referred to as the curse. And the curse of the law, listen, write this down, is poverty, sickness, and death. It's important that you write this down. Poverty, sickness, and death. So Jesus became that curse. So what was crucified and died on that cross? That curse. Poverty, sickness, and death, listen, that's been pronounced in your life, died on that cross. See, what you deal with now is you deal with the thought of it. What you deal with now in your life is you deal with the memory of it. See, our memories are powerful. Our memories are moments. So once you realize that you can overcome that curse, that Jesus became a curse and died, and that curse died on that cross, that curse was crucified on that cross for me in my life, now it's not over my life. So now what's over my life, listen, is an open heaven. Everything above my life now is an open heaven. And God pours out such blessing that I'm, now listen to this, that I'm unable to receive it. It's so great. Oh my gosh, it's overwhelming. See, the idea of this is that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in me. So if the enemy now can repress that power, if he can, if he can think I can't win in this situation, man, my life. Some of you guys maybe ready in your heart. You've even conceived it, hitting that eject button in your marriage, just to jettison you into greener pastures or a better husband or someone who really will love you. See, that our God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think, but the power has to work in us. Man, I'm telling you, I could speak these words over your life. I could speak these words into your life, but you've got to choose whether you're going to live them or not. You've got to choose whether you're going to apply them or not. See, if we turn to the book of Hebrews, which is going to be almost, it's going to be the main text of the message next week. Man, the things are going to be put into context. Man, it's going to be as real. The faith message is going to be as real in your life from next week as it's ever been. It's going to be overpowering to the doubts and the fears that you might have dealt with up to this point. Every doubt, every fear that you've dealt with is going to get its butt kicked next week. I'm just telling you, okay? I'm pronouncing that right now. But see, in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is. Now faith is Faith has to be now. It's not gonna, you know, when I get my act together, when I get enough background, when I knock off some rough edges, when I get some things going in my life, it's now. It's gotta be now. Everybody say now. Right here, right now. It's gotta be now. You know, it's interesting because I don't know if you guys follow my daughter-in-law Cassie in Instagram and her Instagram stories, but they're incredible. I don't Instagram story because there's no way I could do it as good as Cassie, and I'm competitive, so I'm not even going to get into that arena. Okay, but she's taken our precious grandbabies. Okay, the Trip, who's not, he's like 9 or 10 months old, isn't he, Sandy? The kid has never sinned. I don't even, he's known no sin, okay? He's a perfect little guy. He's absolutely perfect. And Charleston's too, okay? They take him to this, it's not swimming lessons, what do they call it? Like infant survival. Like they take this baby and throw the baby out in the ocean. And sharks are circling and stuff, and the baby's got, they teach that baby how to make it. Well, anyway, this person, who she's like a 100-pound woman in this pool in a suburb of Tulsa, and all of these flowers and stuff around, takes my grandbaby, my grandson, and throws him, listen, head first into the water. He's like this tall, so every bit of the water's over his head. It doesn't matter if it's in the deep end or not. It's deep to him. And throws him into that water, and he pops up, and he's on his belly like this. And I'm like, huh? Because I'm watching this Instagram story. It's supposed to be Happyville, okay? It's Happy Camp. But he's face down like this. After he was head first in the water, he's face down. And she says, flip over. And he goes like this. And he sticks his head up like this. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. And then she takes Charleston and puts Charleston in the water, and Charleston's clinging to the side, and she's saying, no like this, no like this, no like this, no like this, no like you, no like anything about you, no like this, no like water, no like pool, mama, mama, no like this. And that woman, listen, that woman shifted, and that woman said, stop. This is my pool. This is not your pool. I make the rules. You don't make the rules. This is my pool. And Charleston went from saying, no like this, no like this, to like this. And now she's swimming. And I think the same kind of epiphany has to happen here with us. There's so much of this faith life. There's so much of trust in God that we're like that 2-year-old just saying, no like this, no like this, no like this. When all God wants to do, listen to me, I know God's heart. I know God's nature. I know God's character. All God wants to do for you today is position you to win it all. And I'm not saying to position you to win and we'll be all ethereal and we'll clap like God just sunk a putt. No, God wants to position you to win it all. Now faith is, right now. Everybody say, right now, faith is. Right now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good testimony. Now faith is, right now we begin to trust God. Right now we begin to live by faith. Man, God cares. Man, God cares about the outcomes of the situation you're in right now. You're on God's radar. The Bible says that God thinks of you night and day. It says that you're constantly on his mind. And now listen, as the apple of his eye. See, you think about that. When Taylor was just an infant, Sandy and I began to profess, you'll marry the right person, you'll fulfill God's purpose. Now, no matter what's happening throughout his life, and he's 32 years old. Whatever happens in his life, he'll meander through the creeks and the rivers and the meander line of the world. But you know what, man? Every day we confess. I still confess that God, he's married the right person. He fulfills your purpose. Brooklyn was born. The first thought I had is, shoot, it's not a boy. The second thought is, she will marry the right person. She will fulfill God's purpose. Kennedy was born. You'll marry the right person. You'll fulfill God's purpose. We still profess that. We profess that yesterday over Kennedy's life. And she's 22 years old. See, that's the kind of, we have to understand the kingdom operates by authority. The kingdom, we live in this world because we submit to the authority of God's kingdom. The word submission here, okay, let me help you. So that we're all on the same page, we're not sloppy with our definitions. My working definition of submission is I've relinquished all rights. I don't have the right to think contrary to God's promise because I'm submitting my life to his promise. Does that make sense to you? There's not going to be a discussion. There's not going to be an argument. It's God's way of doing things, period. Why? I want to live by God's promise. Is anybody with me on that? Anybody in here, you want to believe that God has positioned you to win it all? Oh, but I'm neck deep in debt. The Bible doesn't even talk about God swallowing up your debt. It talks about him swallowing up your death. You know, it's interesting. I went to pray for somebody that was a relative of people that come to the church. Horrific diagnosis, a death sentence in their life. So I went in there and I text somebody that had been there the day before. I said, is there a spirit of death there? And you might say, well, that's pretty heavy. No, I want to know what I'm walking into. But because let me tell you, I know what God's word says. It doesn't matter to me if there is a spirit of death in there. It doesn't matter if there is an atmosphere of death. You know why? The Bible says this very clearly. I serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were and gives life to the dead. See, when we think in terms in our flesh as death, it's over. God says it's never over. As long as there's breath in your body and you can speak life, life wins. Write that down, life wins. See, because I want to go in, and what do I have to do? When I go into a situation, I know that the first thing I've got to do is I've got to change the atmosphere. See, I'm not coming in here going, man, I hope you like this. I hope this is a good word for you. No, the Bible says I speak God's word in season and out of season. There's been 1,000 times Scott Houston and I have spoken God's word in a situation where it was inconvenient. I'm not sure this is the place to speak God's word. That's where we have to speak God's word, in season and out of season. Whether it seems appropriate or not. There's times in our lives where naturally it's inappropriate to speak God's promise. But you know what? I'm not going to tip to how the world thinks. I'm not going to tip to what my flesh wants. Man, my flesh doesn't want to submit to God's way of doing things. I want to do it my way. I want to be able to take credit. Do you know how much credit I could take in my life for what's happened in my life? I could take no credit. I'm along for the ride. But I know what horse I'm betting on. I know what horse I'm riding. Man, I'm not one to jump off my horse and get on somebody else's horse in the middle of this race. No, you know what? I'm going to put the whip to my horse, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get out in front. See, the idea of our life is we have to run this race as one who wins. One gets the prize. Run as one who wins. I'm telling you, somebody's got to win. Somebody's going to win it all. It might as well be you. It might as well be me. And see, that's the idea that we have to take. In verse 3 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. There's so many people that say, man, I read the word, I just don't understand. That's because you got to trust what you're reading. By trust we understand that the worlds were framed by God's word. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. See, the life you live, in a nutshell, the life you live right now, you live it, listen, it wasn't made by something that was visible. Your financial situation right now was made by the invisible words that were spoken, that you received, or that you said over your finances up to now. You know what? Pastor Sandy and I live a life of more than enough. Has nothing to do with how much money we make. Has nothing to do with how much money we have in our accounts. Has everything to do with that's a profession of our faith. The Bible says, hold fast the profession of your faith. Now listen, without wavering. Without wavering. Man, let me just tell you something. Man, we're going to start a church campus, a church downtown at the Mayo Hotel. Taylor and Cassie are going to oversee it. You know what? That's great. But you know what? There's another one on the horizon. And this one, we're already preparing for everything. We're getting the finances together. We're getting the equipment. They're building teams. It starts September 25th. But do you understand? There's one that's coming up after it. Remember the capital campaign that we did? Man, we're going to change the hospitality areas of the church and enrich them. Man, we're going to put new playground in for the kids. We're going to build out the field house. And we're redoing the Guts Kids and the Junior Kids area, making them much more secure. And it's not going to feel like we're adding security. We're just going to make it as secure as we possibly can. But you know what? We also threw these two things in where this capital campaign, we're going to plant two churches. One of them is going to be downtown. So guess what? There's another one. It's on the horizon. I'm not giving one thought to how we're going to pay for it. I'm not even giving much thought with where it is. I want to go where the ground's dry. All I'm thinking about is the who. Once the who pops their head up, I'm going to pull the trigger. That's all it's going to take. See, the idea of this, why? Because I'm trusting God. And you know what? Let me go to some thin ice for some of you. I'm even trusting God, listen, with some things that we're led by our spirit on. See, there's times where Paul would say, you know what? It seems right that we go here. It seems right that we do this. Man, we're led by our spirit. It seems right. You know, when we put the capital campaign together, it came out of my mouth in a meeting where it's like, you know what? Let's plant two churches with this money too. No one goes, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. See, I'm the guy that years ago, we said, you know what? There's no water on the island of Logan off Haiti. Let's buy a water drilling rig and let's punch. And because I remember this statistic that for every 1,000 people in these third world countries, you need a water well for every 1,000 people. There's 100,000 people on that island. Let's dig let's dig 100 wells. Well, up to now, we've drilled 80. Well, what about those other 20? I think about those other 20 every single day. Every day, I think we got to drill 20 more wells. We got to punch 20 more holes. See, it's not over. I'm not casting away my confidence. I'm not changing what I'm saying. I'm not saying 80's good enough. It's 80 more than they had before. No, you know what? We're going to drill 100 wells. But see, the bottom line with this is that, man, things happen that we have to overcome. There's situations that come up that. And am I wavering at all? I'm not wavering at all. See, so the idea of this now, what we have to understand is that it's by faith, and the worlds were framed by God's word, not by our situation. This isn't wishful thinking. And I'm just telling you, pertaining your finances, pertaining your marriages, pertaining your children, pertaining your health, pertaining your future, I have a confident assurance that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you could ask or think. But listen, it's according to the power that works in you. See, God's word comes in two forms. God's word comes in a written form that's referred to in the Greek as logos. Okay? It's a written form. That written form, listen, is a promise. That's what that logos is, a promise. But then that written form, that promise is activated by the rhema form of God's word, which is the spoken word, which is where the power is. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Actually, faith comes by hearing, and you hearing yourself speak God's word. That's where that faith is built. that we believe and therefore speak. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to speak it for it to be power. You've got to speak it for that promise to be realized. You speak it to receive that promise. It's not just because it's written there. It's not just written that it's written there so you believe it. No, in James said, you show me your faith by what you say. I'll show you my faith by what I do. He said, even the demons know, even the demons believe and they tremble. You know why? There's no corresponding actions behind it. See, there's no repentance in it. And see, we have to look at this. If your faith is weak, it's simply a lack of God's word. See, God, the nature of God, here's God's nature. The nature of God is daily. It's daily bread. It's a daily word. It's daily sacrifice. It's daily submission. Every single day. Man, I'm submitting to God's promise. You know what I'm doing? I'm relinquishing my rights. I've relinquished any right to be offended by anybody. I've relinquished any right, listen, to doubt anything in God's word. I've relinquished any right to be in any kind of unbelief. I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to trust God's word. Come hell or high water, I'm not moving. See, I've relinquished those rights. That's what submission is. See, God's nature is to give us daily bread. Spiritual strength comes by hearing God's word daily, every single day. I'm telling you, the devil's going to slap you every single day. And let me tell you, the devil's not all powerful. Otherwise, most of you'd be dead by now. How many guys are still alive? How many guys are sitting in church? How many guys are trusting God? That shows you the powerless attempts the devil has. All he can do is try to seduce you. All he can do is deceive you and lie to you and accuse you. See, this requires our discipline. We've got to be disciplined. The Bible says that we've got to go into all the world and make disciples. It's kind of an old school mob term. Oh, you can't touch that guy. He's a made man. What does that mean? That means he spilled blood. That means he's killed somebody. So for you to be made as a disciple, to make disciples, you got to die. I've got to die to myself. I've got to die to my flesh. I've got to die to my insecurities. I've got to die to my inhibitions. I've got to die to my racial attitudes. I've got to die to any sexism. I've got to die to all that. I've got to die to it. See, but we've got to understand that and really look at it. And here's what we have to keep into context is politicians, our president, commentators, people on the left, people on the right, the whole political spectrum, they're walking in the light they're aware of. And so am I. So guess what the world needs? More light. What does the world need? More love. Man, what's gonna unite our country? Light. Man, what's gonna just abolish racism? More light. Man, what the light does is it brings unity. Man, we look at it, we think, oh, but man, this guy screwed up. Man, this guy here, this guy cheated on his wife. Well, let me tell you something, fellas. Except for the grace of God, so are we. Man, it's God's grace. It's God's commission that's on our life. It's God's power, his supernatural ability, his favor. It's not anything that I've done. It's not anything that you've done. It's us trusting him. Us trusting him as we relinquish our own rights. Man, if someone strikes you, what do? You turn the other cheek. Why? It's submission. You've relinquished your rights of hitting back. Every one of us know how to hit back. What if God's will in your life to live his promises, but the discipline of receiving it is what you lack? Because I think that's all it is. It's not because his promises are weak. Our discipline becomes weak. Our fulfillment is directly linked to our disciplines. We know that God's word is given as promises. We're to be made disciples. And our fulfillment is linked to our disciplines. Fear binds our faith. Some of you guys, your faith's weak, not because the word's not in you. It's because you've allowed the word to coexist with your fears. See, so our fear paralyzes our faith. Our doubt neutralizes our faith. You know, it's funny, Pastor Sandy and I talk all the time. We're in most arguments, Sandy could argue both sides. She could see both sides. Well, that's no fun because then she gets both sides. What do I get? But the problem is that doubt, you see both sides on a faith matter, it neutralizes that faith. Fear binds it up. Doubt neutralizes it. Bad associations keep our faith weak. Now think about that. Your faith may be weak in areas because you're just with the wrong people. That's why there's strong language. You know there's strong language in God's word? Where the Bible talks about marriage that you forsake all others. That word forsake, that's a strong word. That Pastor Sandy forsakes all other men for me. Well, the Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some do, which is foolish. See, so why do we want to get together? We got to be with like-minded, faith-filled people. People that are, man, there's some of you guys that haven't gone an hour without sinning in weeks, and you have today because you sat in here with people that aren't sinning. See, that the understanding of our lives is that bad associations keep our faith weak. Man, you get around strong people. That's why being in a part of programs, being in Second Mile Ministry Training, being in the internship. Man, I'll tell you what, there's 20 or 25 interns that we have right now. I'm telling you, every one of those guys, if you've got an issue in your life, you need somebody to dynamically pray over a situation, grab an intern. Why? Man, because their association's so strong that it's strength by association. For faith to be effective, it has to be turned loose. It has to be activated in our life. There has to be action for our faith to be effective. And next week, I'm just telling you, I'm going to stay in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we're going to define faith. And it's going to be practical. It's going to bring things into a context that it's going to be powerful. I'm telling you, you may want to sit in both services. You may want to bring anybody you care about. It's going to change lives. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says it's impossible for us to please God without faith. So my gosh, how many of you guys want to live a just life? Man, how many of you guys want to please God? See, we got to bring this into context. It's not just content. I think most of us can teach the content, but can you live the context? See, that's where the rubber meets the road, that we bring things into context. God, I just thank you right now for every person here. God, I proclaim by faith every household here whole, every marriage here restored and strong. God, anybody that is ready to hit the eject button in their marriage, God, I thank you for repentance to come into their heart. God, I thank you that our children marry the right people and fulfill your purpose on this earth in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that we live, no matter what our income is, no matter what our accounts are, we live a life of more than enough in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for the incredible plan for life, and we act on that plan, God. God, I thank you today for a move of your spirit.